Hello and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kick Fighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lorddaul.podbean.com. I try to upload something to it once a week, once every other week. I will say to you right now, my promise is to do a kickboxing show every day throughout the rest of the year. I made this promise earlier in the year where I said I'd go through like a 3-month span where I would for sure give you kickboxing. I got you now. For the rest of the year, you are going to get a kickboxing podcast every week. Normally, I've been doing a little gap in between, but I decided I was going to start this series that would give me content to fill the weeks, even the lower weeks. So I'll talk about that a little bit more later. Also, you're listening to this podcast in the most efficient way, which is in the iTunes search engine. Just go ahead and enter Warman Kickfighting Show or enter Lord Gaul, and it pops right up in a search engine. So I'll be there for you on a regular basis with kickboxing content for the rest of the year. Going to go ahead and jump into the biggest show of note, I'd say, for the past weekend. Clearly, the K1, they did a K1 Japan Grand Prix, kind of, 67.5 kgs, kind of a weird weight class to do, but had a lot of fun, entertaining stuff. Had a champion that we've heard his name before. We'll go ahead and break into some of the fights as we go through the tournament, as we get to the very, very nice run by Yuta Kubo in taking this tournament. So let's go ahead and start off. First of all, I'm not going to talk about the results, but I do want to talk about the idea. So they did something called the K1 College, and the undercard was filled with fights at 55 kgs, 60 kgs. I see a 65 kg fight here. I like the idea to it. I really do. It's something that for those who, and I've mentioned it on this podcast several times over the years, but the idea behind Koshin, and you know, it was put together, and I think the original idea was to promote one fighter, but they ended up producing a lot of high-level fighters, Koyarube, Masaki Nori. A lot of people came from that tournament, so it ended up being something really, really nice. So in that way, to invest a portion of your card, and this wasn't, you know, their televised portion, barely anybody in the building when a lot of these fights took place, but this was a great way to move fighters, great way to move athletes. I was really, really impressed by this. I really enjoyed it a lot, and I hope that they continue this and continue it the way that they're doing it, you know, not on TV time, you know, don't necessarily, it'd be cool if they could put the YouTube videos up here and there, that way we could kind of follow some of these athletes, but you got to get your fighters opportunities to compete, and I thought they did a great job with this. Going to go ahead and start off in our 67.5 welterweight, it just sounds weird. Anyways, 67.5 kgs, we're doing it. Kita Mikihara gets a victory over Kenji. It is a third-round stoppage due to a left high kick. Kind of an ugly fight. A lot of, some groin shots, some double legs, a lot of clinches. It wasn't very, very clean. Kenji was committed to his right hand. He'd throw it straight. He'd loop it. He'd throw a body kick every once in a while, but you could see that his setup was trying to put the big right hand on. Kita Mikihara did a good job of just being real consistent with the left leg. If I were to pick a winner before the high kick scored, I thought he had the cleaner work. But Mikihara got one of the kicks up a little bit high, didn't get a strong block from Kenji because Kenji was trying to block and counter over the top of his right hand when he saw the left leg coming a lot, which meant he ate a lot and he missed a lot. But one of them got a little bit high over his defense. The doctor stopped it because of a cut. And even though he didn't put on the most memorable performances, I thought Mikihara was clean, and I liked that he was the winner in this bout. We move on to the quarterfinal, where Mohan Dragan gets a victory over Deka Watabe. If you miss Bob Sapp, he has been reborn in a smaller body by the name of a guy named Mohan Dragan. Dragan came out, threw a kick maybe 3 times the whole night. All he did was throw clubbing shots to the outside. Every once in a while, he threw a straight one to the body. Every once in a while, you know, there's that odd shot in the party. But basically, he just decided he was going to club his way to a championship. Worked against Watabe. Scored some big shots over the top. Gets Watabe in trouble. And second knockdown calls the fight in the tournament. Mohan Dragan moves on. in a performance that I actually thought was pretty solid, but he was slowing. So I would have been curious to see how to move forward. Melsik, I'm probably going to butcher this last name, but Bogdazaria, I believe I got it right, actually. Bogdazaria did a great job in his fight over Kazuki Yamagawa, Yamagiwa. And I thought that Yamagiwa never got into, you know, his flow. He never got consistent. And I think it's because Melsik, not only was he doing a good job of kind of combos and moving, and every once in a while he'd play with his flash kick, he had a really sneaky overhand, like a really sneaky overhand. So sometimes he would shoot it like straight, but most of the time there was an exchange where I remember Kazuki hit him, and then he, you know, I guess not necessarily out of frustration, but out of gamemanship, fainted, came in, double jab, threw it over the top, and it like loops, and it's almost like he's slapping at the very end of it. It's a pretty sneaky left overhand, but he scored it consistently. Going to need some finishing work. He scored a down in the third, but I think the problem with Melzik's down was after he scored it, he was just all over the place trying to get in the second. He's all over the place trying to get the finish. You know, he'd fallen into the clinch several times. They collided heads a couple times. But all in all, Melsik did some good things. Good athlete. I thought that he moved well in space. I would have liked to see a little bit more combo flow, both with his hands and to his low kicks. But I think that there was now I'm overhand. Now I'm playing with my flash kicks. Now I'm playing with another part of the game. I just didn't think that there was much unity in them, but I think that could be your fighter identity if you can find consistent offense against high-level guys. He was able to do it against Yamagiwa. I don't know if he'd be able to do it against some of the better guys in that division, but he did have one flaw for me personally, and I think it led to him being injured and not going on. I didn't like his defensive response to the body kicks, because Yamagiwa was, I would say that was his most consistent score. He was letting it go, and I'd say in the third round, I think I would go Yamagiwa in the third round. I think that he did a good job of pushing the pace, letting that body kick go, his right leg body kick. And I thought Bogdazaria just kept taking him. No real response. Didn't use the opposite hand to slow the kick down all the time. He did it sometimes. In the last podcast, I remember saying, the podcast before that, I said, don't play around with head kicks. Don't just think that putting up one arm is going to be enough to stop it. In that way, be conscious of your body kicks too, you know, because even if your arm can take them, you can, the shoulder can be moved. A lot of different things can happen. So use your legs. So you're going to use that more of a kickboxing style block. The ties, of course, close the door. Ties go, you know, for the most part, you'll see a tie go elbow to knee. You know, they want to try to cut that off. They also have catches that, you know, scoop catches. They've got different techniques, but of course the scoop catch isn't legal in K1. So if you're going to play that block, make sure that you get weight on the right side of your body. Someone's kicking it. Someone's doing a switch kick. I'll go ahead and just say it. I'll go off of their left leg's coming at you. Put weight on the right side of your body, you know, so go ahead and put a little bend in your knee, move your body in the direction to kick slightly, just a little bit. Right hand is up, and it's going to protect it from getting to your ribs. You need to make sure that right hand is up. I'd say kind of, I guess everybody's arm length is different, but if it's a body kick, your glove should at minimum be from your jawline, and your elbow should go down to protecting your body. Your opposite hand should then come across and meet almost in like a little bit of an X, and then you should meet the kick a little bit. That way you can meet and fire over the top the way that I talked about Kenji was trying to do. You've got to have those motions in with your body kick. If you think that just lifting your right hand up counts as blocking a kick, you're going to find out that is going to work against you greatly. And many a body has gone down in Thailand due to that kind of thinking. And now again, rule sets matter. K1 and Glory may not score it as highly, so they may not score the shot as highly, but it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt you as much. So definitely be conscious of your defense when that comes up. So that was the only fall I saw. And I also thought that Bogdazaria started to slow in that last round. Now, who knows what would have happened if he got the chill in the back and came out. And I do think skill set-wise, he would have did really good against Mahan Dragon. But, man, he showed a lot of athleticism, showed a lot of skill. But the gas tank was slowing, and I think he gave up the last round. But other than that, and I think two judges have him giving up the last round. The other judge, 30-28. So I liked your skill set, Melsik, but this was something to build on, and hopefully they bring you back. Next fight I'm going to talk about is Itoshi, excuse me, I almost butchered the last name. Takoshi. I see the TS and threw me off, but it's Tsukokoshi. I'm messing up the name. Man, worked it in the back. Guess what? You get to be Koshi. You get to be Hitoshi for the rest of this comment. And we got Wenbo Han as the opponent. And let me tell you something. I thought Han was doing pretty good. I thought Han was doing good with his pressure and throwing his combinations. I thought his low kick counters were, like, his counter returns or his low kick returns were good. The problem was he was so pressure that he ran into two jumping knees that I thought were the difference in the fight. First round, of course, Itoshi landed one clean on the jaw, puts Han on his back. Han pops up. He fought back strong afterwards, but it was really, really well set up because he was moving backwards and he used a paw hand as Han was closing in, and he did a slap hook. Not a real strong hook. You don't want to go strong hook on that one because you don't need to. I would kind of explain it technically. When I work with Ernesto Hoost, he talked about the different types of hooks, and he said, hook with your shoulders, talking about he wanted me to hook strong so that even if it didn't score, I got the weight on the leg, and then I can bring the low kick over. Now, if you're trying to score a knee, you don't need that weight on the opposite leg. You just need to keep the person occupied while you sneak the knee up. And Itoshi did kind of, his hand kind of pawed out, and he does like a slap hook, and then he rips the knee up right after that. And that's what scored the down. That's how it's done. That's real good technical stuff against a guy who's pressuring heavy. Because he didn't just do it. He didn't just like fire a right hand while the guy was running at him, which is a way of stopping someone going straight. He actually did a little thing. He just kind of put a paw hand out, put a slap behind it to encourage the guy to keep moving forward. He doesn't want him to stop moving forward. Snuck the knee and scored clean under the jaw. I thought Han did a great job of coming back in round two. Very entertaining fight. Very entertaining fight. The only thing wrong with this fight was me butchering Itoshi's last name. But last round, I thought that a pretty even round. But once again, Itoshi snuck up another knee that scored, as I say in the show all the time, one of the sexy shots. Like the one that the crowd remembers, the head moved. So real good stuff. I'm excited to see what comes from the future of, both gentlemen. But Itoshi did a good job, moves on in the tournament. But Wenbo Han is definitely a talented guy. Man, I'm mad at myself for messing up that last name. But it's Tsukakoshi. That's how I say Tsutakoshi. Trying not to mess it up, but I mess it up anyways. Please forgive family of Itoshi. Moving on, Yuta Kobo gets a victory over Minoru Philip Kimura. Yuta Kobo was once, people forget, he's once glory champion, and he was once the best at 65 kgs. Like, very, very talented guy. And once upon a time, he beat Misaki Nori, beat him twice, if I remember correctly. And then they met in the tournament final. And then later that year, they met in, I want to say it was Rise, or I think it's either Rise or Crush, but they met again later that year. Misaki Nori got the victory off of him. And after that, the consistency of Yuta Kobo had been all over the place. Some of it, we can't blame him. The punch that he suffered at the hands of Ku, Ku Fairtex, or Kyle Fairtex, it was an awesome shot. It's an awesome shot. So sometimes you just run into a better guy. But his consistency over the last 2 years hadn't been there. And maybe it was because he was cutting down 65 kgs. He looked comfortable here. Movement was on point. Minoru Philip would have moments here and there, as he normally does, where Kimura will find the straight right hand, the shot that kind of gets the crowd stunned. But in the end, Kubo was too much. Kubo put together an offensive series, clipped Philip with a really strange kind of shot, like one. It was a clean score. The first one kind of came in clean, but the hook was so short, it didn't look like there should have been enough power to generate to put, cause it down. The right hook caused it down, and Kimura went down. He got up, tried to fight back, tried to find consistency, but he had never been one to score the kickboxing numbers to get up on the scorecard. So Minoru, always game, still a beloved star in Japan. They still like this kid, but Yuta Kobo, better fighter. We move on as we get, Koji Kotaro Shimano gets a 29-25 victory. A couple down scored in that one. Koji's solid. You know, never been consistent enough, never beat enough of the big names for me to really, really kind of fall in love with him. But I do like his skill set. He did a good job in this one. Next super fight, Hinata versus Sergio Sanchez. This is something, and again, listen to me if you're a fighter out there and you plan on going to Japan. If you plan on going to anybody's home court or hometown, home court, home field, any sportsman in the world, if you go and compete on another person's home turf, you've got to stay composed and worry more than anything about scoring consistent offense and executing your game plan. That should be it. I think Sergio Sanchez got himself mentally messed up because he's upset with the refs, and he was upset how things were called, and he was upset by the headbutts, and you could see him visibly kind of make gestures when things were happening. So the first headbutt clash was nobody's fault, and Sergio Sanchez kind of moved away. He's really upset. He's kind of holding his head, really, really down, and Hinata was actually cut from it. So if anybody's going to be upset or anybody's going to be, you know, going crazy, it should be him. But he got composed, went back to work. Sergio Sanchez had a really good round, good first round. He came out with the clean kickboxing. I thought that his jab two, jab three, I thought that he had this awkward flow where he'd throw a straight right hand and then go to the lead leg. I thought that it moved at a kind of an awkward turn, but I thought that it was really well scored and scored big. I thought he came out and did really good stuff. Sanchez was on point. Hinata would score here and there, boxing here and there, but not with the consistency of Sanchez after round one. Round two, different round. Hinata gets the left leg going. If you know anything about Hinata, even George Petrosian said he's the hardest guy's ever kicked him. Hinata lets that left leg go. He is a brutal, brutal kicker. And he, you know, stopped several. Many man has fallen to Hinata's body kick. He's a tough kid. So, we can go back, even though it was the last time he ever fought at the weight, we can go back to Artur Kashenko going down by one of those awesome body kicks. Hinata can let that left leg go. Not only was he scoring the left leg, Sanchez, in a hurry, was starting to run into straight lefts, trying to close the distance, get back his own offensive flow. But then, the moment, like, something would happen, a clinch would happen, you know, a head clash or something, he would just look to the ref and complain to the ref. At the end of round two, Hinata caught a kick and then threw a straight left, and it dropped Sanchez. And the ref did a great job right away, said, no down, no down. But Sanchez was still, you know, frustrated by it, goes to his corner. They came back in the next round. A similar motion happened where Hinata caught the leg and threw a punch, and he just kind of put his hands down and turned. And then there was a moment in the corner where he backed himself up. Hinata, I mean, it was 30-29 on all the cards. There's one 29-28. But Hinata had back Sanchez into the corner, and he unleashed a big barrage of punches. And after that, I just think that Sergio was both physically, mentally defeated as far as a combat sportsman, and then also in terms of just the fairness of being out there in the first place. I think all that was weighing on his head in the last round. Now, I'm not in his head, but that's what I'm just going off of. When you don't have the offensive response that you used to have, when you don't have the confidence, the eyes, like Sergio Sanchez was so serious in his expression before the fight started, and then after the fight began, it just looked like he was, you know, or at the third round, he just looked like he was a guy who was just cheated and thrown in there to get butchered, and he just didn't have it. So he had moments where he could have still had success, and he threw here and there. His shots were clean, but he just gave up on the offense. Hinata, you know, seeing blood in the water, kept throwing, kept letting the left leg go, hurt Sanchez really bad at one point. Sanchez was able to stand his feet. Hinata let the hands go. There was another moment where, as I mentioned before, Sanchez thought something illegal had happened, like a headbutt or something like that, and he just kind of walked over towards the corner, and the ref wasn't having it. He just let them fight. I thought this was one of the best officiated K-1 cards I've ever seen. Like this, they did a great job of stopping the action very little for my personal taste. But anyway, Hinata threw one more barrage at the end. He gets the victory 30-29 twice and 29-28. Sergio Sanchez, you're a talented fighter, man. You are a talented fighter. I want to see you compete again down the road. But dude, you can't let the moment be so big that when things don't go your way as far as your ability to compete at a high level or your ability to execute offense or a foul or whatever, just get back to it. Get back to, if I keep hitting this guy, things are going to go my way in the scorecards. Just go about that. If I keep hitting him, things are going my way with scorecards. If it doesn't go your way, then you got robbed. You know what I'm saying? We've got a term for that. We have no term for if you start, we do. It's called losing. It's called a loser. If you just let that stuff all build up and you don't get into your game, if you went to the back room after that fight and told your corner, well, they did this, this, and this, and they let him do this, this, and this, or whatever, you allowed that to be the narrative of the story when you could have just went back to work, tried to get your kill in, and then if the decision didn't go your way, then you could go on the back and be like, I know I scored more than him. I would rather be that guy. I would rather be the guy who get robbed than the guy who stopped because he didn't like things because things weren't going their way. Sanchez, that's what it looked like happened to you. You got to go ahead, dust your stuff off. You're a talented guy, super talented guy. I really liked watching his skill set. That's a mental thing, my man. Hinata, it's just about consistency and beating more international names. He's been fighting in Japan primarily for a while. I would love it he ventured out again. I know the Glory had some ups and downs for him, but I like him on the international scene. He's a talented guy. We will see more. And the bleeding stops. Hirotaku Arabe gets a KO victory over Michihiro Yamamoto. Got the hands going. Scores down the second. I can't remember what the punch was exactly. I think it was a right hook. But Yamamoto goes down. He's a tough guy. He's had some good tournament runs. But this story isn't about Hirotaku. And all that hair, he had to braid it up for this one. He is a talented, talented dude who just was on the weirdest streak of not putting offense together, not finding consistent kickboxing, looking for KOs more. To think that a year ago he beat his brother by KO, and I'm thinking, okay, here Taka's going to be the man. Since then, Koyorobe, who lost that fight, has been on fire and is the champion of that weight class. He, Hirotaku, had these strange ups and downs and just didn't find consistency and just, I'd say losing streak more than anything. I want to say he lost 3 or 4 in a row at one period of time. It was good to see him get a win, good to see him get a KO, good to see the crowd respond. Solid crowd out here, solid crowd. I think they picked a good venue. I think that they arranged the seating very, very well. But good stuff here. Hopefully you can build on it. Hopefully you can build on it because Hirotaku really is a talented guy. But man, that was just a weird, he lost to Tega, he had some weird, weird losses in that. But good stuff, and we will see more from you moving down the road. Go back to that tournament field, Mohan Dragon, what do you think he did? He started throwing his KO bombs over the top, no technique needed. He goes against Yamagiwa, who was a replacement, because Yamagiwa won the first fight that I mentioned, that was the reserve fight. He gets into the tournament, he goes out there, he throws strikes here and there, but that's not the story. The story is all about the little Sap Dragon just throwing it out. Sap Dragon, that's going to be your name, I called it first. Sap Dragon went out there and just started throwing his saps all over the place until he finally got Yamagiwa out of there. 2 knockdowns did it, punches, that's all you need to know, because if he ever wins by a high kick, it'll probably freak us all out. Not that he can't throw a high kick. Just that he doesn't want to. He's going to go out there and throw his saps all over the place. So Sap Dragon gets the victory and moves on. Yudakobo goes out there and puts on one of my favorite low kick stoppage performances. Here's why I liked it so much. Hiritoshi did take some solid low kicks at the tournament. One of the things that I've always said about kickboxing is the reason why I like tournaments is because I like the attrition of it. I like the fact that you've got a game plan not just for beating your opponent, but you got a game plan for the preservation of your body. So I've seen some fights where people are coming out guns blazing to try to get stoppage in round one. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. When they don't, they switch the game plan in round two to getting up enough numbers but not giving up a lot of energy. And I just love that kind of dynamic. Hitoshi was in a tough fight. I think, as I said before, probably one of the most entertaining fight of the quarterfinal round was him and Wenbo. Probably the most entertaining fight of the tournament. But after Han's fight, he had taken some shots. Not a lot, but he took enough. And Yudakobo, who's already in that southpaw stance, it can be hard to get a stoppage on the lead leg. If you got an orthodox guy in front of you and you're southpaw, it can be hard to get a stoppage in that lead leg. You know, it's kind of depends on the athlete you have in front of you. Do they have the ability to take that shot or not? That comes into play. He did. He did have the ability to take that shot. He's a strong, strong dude, for the first fight. But he gets in there with Yudakobo, After, showing no signs of effect against in the Han fight, after being able to tough it out, Yuta Kubo started hacking away at that leg, and then Hitoshi, who did such a good job of keeping it hidden in the first fight, couldn't do it in the second fight. Yuta Kubo chopped away at it, got big-time low kick. The stoppage is one of the most beautiful things you're going to see, because he comes out and he's like throwing the low kick at the hurt leg, and clearly Hitoshi's trying to hide it, and then he attacks the opposite leg, and then he goes into a flurry, and then he attacks the hurt leg a couple times, and then down goes Hitoshi. Good stuff. Yuta Kubo gets a stoppage, and that's what you want to have in a tournament. You want stoppages. Kubo had a good performance in the first round, but he had a quick stoppage without taking a lot of damage in this one, in the same way that Sap Dragon got a two consecutive fights where he got stoppages in the first round. So both guys go into the final with plenty of energy. We go back to the super fights, and we go with Yusuke Takai as he goes against Namito Izawa. And hey, man, hey, Takai, I like your kickboxing, man. I like your kickboxing skill. A lot of combos in this one. Combos, combo to kicks, but he played it to the body and to the head, which really, really cool. He threw low kicks too, but to have a consistent combo to kicking game that goes upstairs, that's awesome stuff. Above the waist stuff, I love the high kick. I love the body kick. I love the combo flow. I love the movement, but I love that anytime Izawa put the earmuffs on, he made him pay with numbers, and that's how this game is played. Good stuff by Takai. I like seeing you compete. You got the three knockdowns in the fight. I remember watching the fight thinking, hey, when are they going to stop this thing? Because it just kept finding the big offensive shot. They call it after three knockdowns. In the third round was the final stoppage. Takai's a skilled guy. Really liked watching you compete. I like your kickboxing, my man. I want to see you some more down the road on these cards. I've mentioned him on this show before, but this performance at the particular time that I was breaking down the fight, I was like, man, that kid can kickbox. Sturas. I get a little bit of credit on butchering the Greek names because they're a little bit tougher. Exakostidis. I believe it's pronounced Exakostidis. Now that I've said it correctly three times, he is Storus for the rest of this story. He goes against Tega. Tega, who had found consistency after struggling with consistency, goes into this one. I swear, something must have happened. They must have drank each other's water. But him and Arube switched. Because Arube, who had been coming in struggling, gets off the snide. Tega, who had been coming in on a winning streak, finds it again. He wasn't kickboxing too bad. And if anything, I thought... I'm going to keep going with it. Exakostidis came out and looked tentative. Didn't find his moments. Didn't look confident. Single strikes here and there. The difference for Storus was there was a left hook that caught Tega behind the ear that got him in trouble for the first one. Then after that, it was just about finding your finish. And Storus did a good job closing the distance. Didn't let the clinch happen too much. Was able to punch his way out when Tega did grab. Gets the score, gets the victory after three. It was cool to watch them in the corner. It was cool to see Andre Menard. I'm seeing Andre Menard all over the place. I was at Glory Chicago. Andre Menard's there. I see him out here in K1. It's good to see him as one of the elite old school names in the training game at the top. It's really, really cool to see. So shout out to him. Shout out to Storus getting this victory. Tega, you're not bad, man. You still have all the athletic tools, and maybe this is just, a hiccup in the road, and you'll be back on it next time. But really good stuff, boy, by Storus. We get to the man, the one that they call the most violent man in kickboxing. Takeru gets a 30-28 decision over Zhigong Wang. Let me tell you guys something. I thought the kickboxing was solid in this fight, of course. Takeru always does a pretty solid combo to low kick flow, moves around. Wang did a good job of staying in there, finding his own big shots. It was just an entertaining back and forth. It really was kickboxing at a high level. Wang was a legit guy to come in and compete for the featherweight title. Takeru was all too willing to sit there and oblige. Here's my thing about why I like Takeru so much. If you get to round three and you're still on your feet, he's going to try to kill you. He's done it in several fights now. And I just, it means something to me because I'm always really, really high. The year that I made him Fighter of the Year, which I believe was last year, the reason why I'm really high on him, it's stoppages matter to me in kickboxing because we don't fight for very long. You know, it'd be different if you're fighting 10-rounders, 12-rounders. Because the fights aren't as long, if you can find successful offense to get up on the card and also find successful offense to get a guy out of there, that means something to me as a person who's in love with kickboxing. You know, as a person who's been, you know, pursuing and pushing the sport for a really long time. I'm a big fan of that type of individual, and we've had them throughout the years. There's a reason why Bukau's second K-1 World Grand Prix is my favorite. There's so many stoppages and knockdowns in that one. I think that in that whole tournament, I think that Takeru, if the fight is close or if he's scoring his offense, he believes that when it's time to put the foot on the gas, you're going to be the one to get hurt, not him. And he went after Wang. And Wang, to his credit, and the reason why this fight and the gif of this little scene at the end was so great, he tried to bang right back with him. And Takeru clearly, in my mind, was winning round three, scoring significant offense. Wang still trying to find him, a little off-kiltered by some of the big shots, some of the movement. But Takeru had his mind made up that I got to try to get Wang out of here, bit down on the mouthpiece, and just started throwing heat. And Wang was trying to throw in between here and there. But Takeru, who would take a shot here and there himself, would land 3-1, 4-1 in these exchanges. And they were just hands go. They were just letting the hands go. Crowd loving it. He's beloved. He's the best, I'd say one of the bigger stars in kickboxing. He's the biggest since Masato. Now, he's not Masato. Let that be clear. He is not Masato. Masato was, girls loved him, had the look, you know, right height and size and, you know, everything about Masato, presentation. Like, he's still making good money now and he barely does anything, you know. Masato is still the number one guy. But Takeru, I might feel at this period of time, maybe has more international recognition and love for being one of the best. Like, people call him the best kickboxer in the world. And Masato, even when he'd won the K-1 tournament, I don't think anybody called him the best kickboxer in the world. They just called him the max champion for that year. Not saying that he wasn't. I'm just saying they still gave the heavyweight champion at that time more love during Masato's, you know, championships. I think right now, I guess depending upon the champion, but I think right now, Takeru, I'll just see it randomly on someone's wall. I truly believe this kid's the best kickboxer in the world, and that's just awesome. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you want to see. You know, I saw the K-1 Anoop show where the Dan McGowan, he talked about how he wouldn't mind fighting some of the K-1 guys in the lower weight classes, but Takeru is the man. You know, I like that other fighters recognize him and his talent. Some of the smaller guys would love that opportunity. He's just everything you want in kickboxing, in a kickboxer. He's must-see. Go on to the final where Yuta Kubo puts on a kickboxing clinic against Mahan Dragon. Yuta Kubo beating Sap Dragon is not a big surprise. You know, like, he's clearly a better kickboxer. He wasn't going to fall for the wide shots. He maybe got hit with a few, but for the most part, Dragon didn't have the ability to score against a guy who moves as well as Yuta Kubo. So that's not a story. Yuta Kubo was able to score down, I want to say, in the fourth round. For me, the biggest story, the two biggest stories is this. The number two story is Yuta Kubo returning to the top of kickboxing in some way. People will pay attention to him. You know, they you know, made a big deal of this. I'm not sure how much they're going to push this weight class, but I like it. I like that they're so committed to the smaller weight classes. I like that they got a Japanese champion. I think Yuta Kubo can be pushed, and I think that there's a lot of European guys at the weight class who they can bring in and be really, really solid opposition for him. You know, Fabio Pinca's in kickboxing K1, in Glory right now. So with Fabio Pinca being gone, so that guy's eliminated, but you still have some serviceable names, guys in Thailand, European guys. There's some, you know, Liam Harrison. I don't think he's signed to anybody right now. 67.5 kgs right up his alley. He'll go out there and fight Yuta Kubo. So we got some really good guys around that weight class if they're going to make this a title. If he's going to have, you guys saw the banners that they have up that say who the champions are. You know, you had Riru was up there and Sakinori was up there. If you're going to get yourself on that, Takeru, of course, was up there. If you're going to get yourself on there, they're going to give him a banner. They're going to make him a recognized champion for the weight class of 67.5. I'm okay with that. But make sure we bring in some solid opposition, and there is solid opposition out there for him. That's the number two story. The number one story happened in the second round, where at the very end, Mahan Dragon goes down. And it's a weird down. Looks like maybe he was hurt to the body, but more so he just took a knee and took a deep breath because he was tired. It takes a lot of energy to be throwing those saps around. So he goes down to a knee, and Kubo steps away, and the ref calls it a down. And he is super, super frustrated. Dragon gets up, realizes that it shouldn't have been called a down. He's just frustrated. He gets up. This is going to be a down 99.9% of the time, no matter what, if the ref missed it. Instead, the ref goes over to each of the judges, to, you know, commissioners or whoever sitting ringside, and looked for confirmation of if it was a down or not. When all of them said that it wasn't a down, he then said no down. They changed it, and they restarted the fight. Everybody put your hands up. That was the greatest thing that you're going to see in kickboxing judging all year, maybe ever in your life, for them to admit that they may have made a mistake, then go for confirmation on whether or not they were accurate in saying, hey, I might have been wrong about this. Was it an actual down? Did it come from a strike? Or was he just on his knee resting after a slip? Now, again, Dragon could have done some more to prove that he wasn't down. But he was tired, so he took a deep breath. And if anything, he was just kind of milking for a little bit more time. But he wasn't hurt from a shot. But the fact that he admitted fault, then goes for confirmation of, hey, I think I might have been wrong here. Then for them to accurately say yes. They didn't say, oh, you're the right, you know, judge, go what you just said. No, for them to say, hey, you know, you missed that. All of them confirm. He takes the down off the card, off the board. They go back into the fight. That's a win. The winner of the K1 tournament this past weekend is that ref, whose name that I should have gotten before I started praising him, but I didn't get it. So you guys just got to know that that ref is the real MVP. That is amazing. That is amazing, that because it's just, that's the thing that people want to see. That's the problem that we had, you know, watched the boxing fight the other day. And it's not just that Adelaide Bird had a bad score that people didn't agree with, that they couldn't understand. You know, like round seven, people are like, how on earth did you go? You know, I've got no problem. I thought the fight was close. I gave it to Triple G. But in the end, the point that I'm trying to make is when you have something that wide, it's like the people who do it, the people who make the mistake. If a ref makes the mistake of letting one person hold and penalizing the other, if the judge, scores something wrong, the problem that we all have is it seems like there's no repercussion, that nothing happens. And worse, when you ask them about it, they act like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. All's well that ends well. That's fine. That decision makes sense to me. That sort of thing happens when no one admits fault. That's the biggest problem that most of us have. And that's what I was looking for. I was just looking for someone to admit they made a mistake. This guy admits that he made a mistake, goes for confirmation as far as fixing the mistake, and then fixes the mistake. That's what we want. That's what we want. If there's a bad scorecard, you know, and someone says, hey, you know, this person, the scorecard doesn't make sense, we're going to go ahead and suspend them for judging for 3 months. That's it. It's not like we're asking for their livelihood. We just want to know if they do something wrong, that there is an admittance of guilt, and that we move forward from after the guilt. But the problem that most people have is, well, it could have gone that way. And, you know, they make arguments for these people when they're wrong. This guy admitted he was wrong, which is all of a sudden already a super anomaly in itself, and then fixes the problem in the spot. I am finishing this card by talking about you. You are the MVP of this entire show. And it was a good show, but you are the MVP of the show. We're going to go ahead and jump into some other action. We are going to the W5, as it had a pretty solid event. I will talk about some of the undercards, and of course I'm going to talk about Vlad Tumanov because that's what it does. Some of the undercard, we had Enver Sizivar gets a decision victory over Igor Mihaljevic. Igor Mihaljevic, I'm messing his name up, Mihaljevic. There we go. Igor was once a guy who I thought was a solid prospect. Hasn't found consistency. This kind of loss doesn't bode well for a guy who, I mean, he had, I thought that he could have been a solid, consistent guy fighting in the glory ranks, but just hasn't found consistency. Enver, that's a solid win. Hopefully you can move forward and we could see more from you down the road. Andrej Kedzvas gets a split decision victory over Orfan Senazadeh. I did not get to see this fight, so I can't give you a really good breakdown of it, but shout out to Andrej. Jasmine Pikarovic, I should have watched this because these three fights actually are still online. I just didn't get around to watching it. She gets KO victory over Danilo Cota. And then Daryl Stitchman Daryl Stitchman's been doing it for a while. Daryl Stitchman fought for a Showtime back in the day. Consistent kickboxer who I would like to see him in the glory ranks. He gets a TKO victory over Mihar Batjari. Stitchman is just a guy who I've seen his name so much fighting all over Europe that I wondered why. Just, you know, on a consistent basis. He's a guy who should be used in glory like 2 or 3 times a year. He's a good enough name to be a whatever you need. He could be a tournament filler. He can give your champion a good super fight. I like him a lot. He's a professional. Good victory for him there. Frankie Gragas gets a victory over Denis Majanovic. Frankie is a guy who's also been fighting at a high level for a long time. I'm a big fan of his. Just a consistent kickboxer who can be a card filler, and you see that name, you're like, oh, okay, that guy's legit. He's that kind of a name. Whether or not he'll be glory champion, I don't know about that. I just like who he is as a prize fighter. I think that he's a very talented guy, and I want to see more of him down the road. Mehran Fajan, again, same thing. Older, still younger than Javit Parterak. He gets a victory here in this heavyweight tilt. I think that it might have been slipped, but like there were some controversy. I saw different things all over the line because I didn't see all of this. I think most people felt that Fajan won 2 and 3 pretty clear. I think that there was there was a lot of different things coming out. In the end, the right guy won. Puterock still putting it together, still trying to do it at his age. He was older when he finally got his K1 opportunities. But he's a guy who's been out there consistently fighting. Whenever I see his name on the card, the first thing I think is, man, it's good that he's staying with it. It's good that he's staying with it. He is past where he could be, you know, serviceable on the card. He, of course, will always look back at, you know, he had some upsets back in the day. He'll probably be known more for KO losses than any of his victories. But he still had a really good career, and he still has a really solid, solid kickboxer. The McDonald wins will be the ones that I think most people remember him for. I deliberately, even though this fight was not last, I moved it because it was a pretty, pretty solid, you know, outing against a solid guy. It's just Vlad Tumanov is one of the better prospects in kickboxing in the world, and he is just. He's just all talent. Like he's got every tool. He stops it with a liver shot, and this one, I'm pretty sure it was a liver shot. I remember correctly, it was a liver shot. Stops him with a liver shot, and I think that he was game. I thought that Rasan Mohareb was trying to do his best to compete against a guy who was just better. It's not that Mohareb didn't have his moments. You know, he was strong. He was throwing shots here and there. It's just two different levels. Vlad Tumanov is just a strong, steady, solid kickboxer who's very, very talented. One of the future stars in this game. The promotion has, you know, put a lot of stock into him. They've been pushing him. If he ends up in glory, it'll be great because if they're going to go over to, you know, that part of the world, whether it be Slovenia, Russia, whatever, he's the guy you want to use. You know, this event took place in Kopar, Slovenia. He's one of the guys that you want to use. He's a young, up-and-coming star. Awesome, awesome competitor. I look forward to seeing more from him down the road. Man, just amazing stuff. Gonna go ahead and move into some news. First of all, I gotta break your hearts a little bit. Nicky Holtzkin will not be fighting on the Glory event next week on September 30th. Talented guy, one of the better guys in the sport. But it's not just that, it's just the look, you know, just the feel. He's kind of one of the more recognizable stars, figures in kickboxing throughout the years. So it's a loss. Times two, because Alim Nabayev was going to be the guy to go against him. It does not look like they are going to find a replacement fight for Nabayev, which just hurts my soul to hear. I'm hoping that they're trying to work on that, but sounds like they're not. Still a great card, you know. Like, don't get me wrong, the card isn't, you know, for lack, but man, that was a guy that I for sure wanted to see against someone on this card on TV. He's very, very talented. But we still got a good card. Still got a good card top to bottom. But those are, of the prospects that weren't signed, You know, I just mentioned, you know, in particular the Eastern Bloc kind of, you know, level talent. The three that you've heard me mention before, and of course, some of them are now signed, but two of the three, Nabiyev and now to hear about, you know, the opportunity missed for Nabiyev and Nabiyev, excuse me. But those two guys, you know, the, you know, super talents, it just kind of blows me away that they are not used consistently, because if we do get them consistently used, we can slide our way into Russia a little bit easier, because they're very, very talented guys. But those are guys who are the last two who aren't really signed to a major promotion. So I'm hoping that he signs something other than just signing for the fight, and that they continue to use him for a long time. If you guys get the chance, get over to Liverkick and read the Kickboxing and Need of Heroes featuring Bellator's Kickboxing, Joe Schilling, Kevin Ross, and Raymond Daniels. Go check that out. It's a nice little read. I just want to do everything in my power to push the sport forward. I think that's a good read. I know not everybody's into reading. Shut up and go read that. Go read that. Look at some of the U.S. stars trying to make some waves. Sorry. Phone just went off in the background. But it's also some 188 number, which usually means that it's someone who is trying to get me to sell or try to buy a warranty in my car. I've been getting a lot of those on those. I don't want to buy a warranty in my car. So, anyways, that is going to do it for the show. I was trying to think, did I want to go more into the news and notes? Nah, I think I'll end it right there. Go ahead and give the K1 ref his due. Go ahead and talk about just the talent that we have out here. And, you know, you guys really should. If you go ahead and Google the name, like, or go ahead and YouTube the name. It's pretty. It's Vlad Tuanov. Excuse me, I said it differently earlier. Vlad Tuanov, Nabiyev. Those are the two guys that I think are like the prospects that haven't been fighting for a major organization yet that you really want to see. Vlad Tuanov, just because he just fought. I'll go ahead and VladTuinov. Gotta watch this guy compete. Very, very, very talented. So, thanks for listening to the podcast. I will be back, as always, next week. As I said, I'm going to keep my promise to you. I'm going to keep it rolling. I'm going to keep it rolling all the way up until the end of the year. I'm going to do a kickboxing show every week. That's my promise to you. So, I got a long way to go to make this promise happen. But the series that I'm going to talk about is, I'm going to talk about just the scope of kickboxing and Muay Thai in general. I'm going to talk about some of the opinions and some of the ups and downs and things that people deal with and so on. And then I'm going to announce something next week that just happened that's really, really special for me as a guy who's been in kickboxing. So I'll go ahead and end the show on next week's episode. I'm going to talk about the controversy of, should fighters have to sell tickets? Okay? Going to go both sides of it. I'm going to go promoter's view. I'm going to go fighter's view. But we're going to talk about, should fighters have to focus on selling tickets, in particular to get fight spots. So I'll go ahead and do as wide a scope as I possibly can. Thank you all for listening. God bless and have a good one. Peace.